Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Rob, you know what we're going to do one time for an update? We're going to have Siri read the update and then have you read the update and then let the audience pick which one they like more. That might be what we do. You know how you can get like those Alexa voices, like you can just type in and you can have the update? We're going to have Alexa read the update and have you read it. And then we're going to let the text line decide if you can move forward as being the update person.
In my defense, Alexa doesn't have 19 things to do back here.
No, that's perfectly fair. And somebody would have to type it in so Alexa could read it. But no, I'd certainly want to hear what Alexa would sound like doing the updates. Text line 69306. We appreciate you listening to The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison with the Sports Machine, Sean Levine. He is out today. He is camping. Hopefully he is staying mosquito free. And our guy, Rob, he is on the ones and twos. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will be joined by Brent Zobleski. If you don't know who that is, I certainly understand. He writes for Bleacher Report. So yesterday we told you that Bleacher Report was doing a story on who would you rather have, Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. He actually picked Lamar Jackson. We will talk to him about why you picked Lamar Jackson. So Brent Zobleski of Bleacher Report will be on the show coming up in 15 minutes. Before we get into People's Court, we need one more caller, 913-576-7610. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Some of the radio that I've done or we've done during the coronavirus has been somewhat self-indulgent. Like, we get the opportunity now to talk about whatever we want to, and you guys can't really complain. Because typically, how the text line works is, if we talk about something you don't like, you'll just say, shut up and talk sports. But you can't really say that right now because there's no sports. So we can talk about whatever we want. So I told Rob, I said, you know what? I want to have the guy from NBA Jam on the show. I don't really know what I want to talk to him about, but I just think it'd be cool. You know who's coming on the show who just emailed me back? The voice of NBA Jam. He's going to be on the show next week. I can't wait to have him on. I can't wait to have him say he's on fire on this show. Rob, have you ever played NBA Jam? I know you're like 23.
Yeah, I've played NBA Jam.
Okay.
I've been to Updown. Let me rephrase it. I've been to Updown in my time.
I can't wait to have him on the show. So the voice of NBA Jam, he just emailed me back. He said that he's planning on coming on the show. He actually made fun of my name in the email and said, I'll go on any day with someone who has two first names. I was thinking about blocking him, but I can block him after he comes on the show. So we'll catch up with Brent Zobleski of Bleacher Report coming up in about 10 minutes. He is picking Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes. We will find out why he is doing so. But it's time for a brand new edition of People's Court.
There's a dispute and we need you to settle it. It's the People's Court.
So I don't want to use any names in this story. I got to protect identities. I have a good friend of mine, a close friend of mine, who told me of a strategy and something that they do. So they go to Chick-fil-A sometime on Saturday evening, and they get two sandwiches. So they'll enjoy the one sandwich, and because Chick-fil-A is not open on Sunday, they have the extra sandwich so they can eat it on Sunday. My question to you guys is a very simple one. Is that gross or genius? Because I don't know about you guys, Chick-fil-A on Sunday sort of has that forbidden fruit theory. The time I want Chick-fil-A the most is the day they're not open. I know I'm not the only one that Sunday at 1 o'clock, you're like, man, you know, it'd be really good for lunch. Man, Chick-fil-A. And you're like, oh man, they're closed. That's a terrible feeling. So when he told me this story, I was kind of thinking, this is really smart. So you get Chick-fil-A in the here and now. And then all you got to do is wait 14 hours. You put it in the refrigerator. And then you got Chick-fil-A tomorrow for lunch. I think that's a genius idea. But I'm asking Rob. And Rob thinks that this is gross. And Rob thinks that you shouldn't do this. And there's no way that it can be good to have reheated fast food. So I said, let's make it a people's court. Text line 69306, phone line 913-576-7610. Is my friend gross or genius? Because I actually think this is genius. Now, if you know me, you know I love Chick-fil-A. I love the nuggets. I love the grilled chicken. I love the sandwich. I love the spicy chicken sandwich. I love the deluxe sandwich. I like the mac and cheese. I like the lemonade. If Chick-fil-A's selling it, I'm buying it. I'm going in the morning. I like the hash browns. I love that place. I think this is genius. Rob thinks it's gross. I'm curious what you guys think. Phone line 913-576-7610. Ryan, I'm curious if my friend is gross or genius.
I think it all depends on how you reheat it. If you use the microwave and, like, microwave the sandwich with, like, the buns on it, that's disgusting. But if you, like, take the buns off, throw it in the oven for a couple minutes at, like, 350, 400, toast your buns again, I think genius.
Ryan, I like hearing that. See, I like outside-the-box thinkers. This person is an outside-the-box thinker. There's one thing to have a problem. Chick-fil-A not being open on Sunday sometimes causes a problem. Now, there's other places to eat, but believe me, there ain't no other place giving you that great customer service, that great lemonade, that divine chicken. There's only one place. So if somebody has figured out a way that they can make it last, I'm for it. I think it's genius. Back to the phone line. Robert, which is it, genius or gross?
That is... It's actually relevant on the situation. I think if you need to heat that sandwich up on a Sunday, that's all you got, it's going to be the greatest sandwich in the world. Might even have cheese on it, figuratively or literally. If it's not something that you have to do, then it can be gross. If you got options, it can be gross. You know what I'm saying?
No, I completely understand, Robert. I appreciate the phone call here. I appreciate it. See, this is the thing. This is the thing. I don't feel this way about every fast food place. If we were talking about him doing this with the McChicken, you're nasty. What are you thinking? If you were doing this with a Big Mac, I would think that it's nasty. If you were doing this with a Doritos Locos taco, I'm sorry, that taco doesn't hit the same in the morning the way it would have the night before. Once you try to put it in the microwave and the lettuce gets all soggy, and you know that shells just starts to evaporate, it ain't the same. But Chick-fil-A is a different beast, man. It's a different beast. Rob, can you tell me why you think this is gross and this is not a genius plan so you can make sure that you can have Chick-fil-A on Sunday?
Fast food does not reheat. I actually had a friend in college, I'll protect his name, who we were out on the town, and then we decided to get some Taco Bell late at night. Like any great decision makers, we got Taco Bell. He did not finish his Taco Bell. He pocketed it, took it home. Next day, he heated up said Taco Bell. Top 10 worst decision of his life. Fast food is fast food. It's designed to be eaten fast, and then it's not meant to sustain over days. If you go to a nice restaurant, you get chicken strips, it might be okay the next day. If you go to Chick-fil-A to get chicken, that's a one day only. That's got an expiration date, and it does not reheat. You can't be reheating fast food. It's nasty.
But this is the thing, and this is why I think you're being a little disrespectful to Chick-fil-A. I know what the food and nutrition contents are for their food. I don't know that for Taco Bell. Now, I like Taco Bell, but I'm sorry. Any place that you can feed seven people for $5, I don't know if they're using real meat. I don't know if that's from a cow. It might be from an animal, maybe a combination of different animals. I don't know, though, man. I'm telling you, you can get too much food for too little of a price at Taco Bell for me to think that everything's on the up and up. I don't question that with Chick-fil-A.
Would you reheat Chipotle, though?
Oh, I always reheat Chipotle.
See, I'm a one and done on Chipotle.
Yo, really quick, this is a side note. Actually, hold on. Let me take Bill's call. I don't want him on hold anymore. Bill, which one is this, gross or genius?
Is this me?
Yeah, it's you. Go ahead, man.
All right. I don't know if you said Bill or is this Neil, but whatever. So if I have to take a final stance, I got to go gross. But I do agree with the first caller in a way, but I'm going to take it up a notch. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you having French fries?
No.
Okay, then you're a little bit better off, because French fries are almost impossible to reheat. Chicken sandwich, I could see, like the first guy was saying, put it in the oven, blah, blah, blah. But if you've got an air fryer, let me tell you, air fryer actually does a pretty darn good job with French fries and fried stuff. So if you have that, you're pretty close to genius. But if I have to take, I mean, really, I'm like, kind of like the first caller, it depends. But if I have to take a hard and fast stance, I'm going to go gross. But it does depend on how you're heating it up. With an air fryer, it's pretty close to it's as close to genius as you can get.
No, I understand. I appreciate the phone call, Neil. You had him as Bill. You know what? He was very mad at me. But, you know, I'll fall on the sword for you. I won't blame you for writing his name down wrong. That's on me. People on the text line are saying this. People like cold food. People are saying leftover pizza, cold, it's the best. Leftover buffalo wings, cold, it's the best. Is this a thing? I'm serious. Is this a thing? Because it's not a thing for me. I've never been steps away from the microwave. I had the cold buffalo wings, and then I opted to not put the wings in the microwave for 30 seconds so they could come out hot so I could enjoy them. Why would I not heat up the pizza? Why? I might even take mine a little step further. I kind of sprinkle water on my pizza so it's kind of soft, because you know that crust is rock hard that next day after you put it in the microwave. Rock hard the next day. So I can't believe you guys are out here not reheating food after it's been in the refrigerator. You're just taking, so you're just leaving the pizza out all night. You're then picking up the pizza and you're just eating it the morning. That's gross. Terrible. Can't do it.
Text line, yes, I eat my Chipotle burrito leftover cold.
Terrible.
What the hell is going on?
So you know what? We got Brent Zoblowski coming up, who picked Patrick Mahomes over, or excuse me, he picked Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes. We'll talk to him. I got beef with Chipotle that we'll talk about at some point this hour too, because I have been incredibly loyal to Chipotle over the years, but sometimes I don't know if they deserve my loyalty. We'll talk about that coming up. But first, we got Brent Zoblowski. He works at Bleacher Report. There was a story on their website that it was, what quarterback would you rather have, Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson? He picked Lamar Jackson. We'll find out why coming up. So Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2-6.
Back in on the Drive. Thanks so much for listening. My name is Carrington Harrison with Rob Brinton. Sean is off today. Coming up in 15 minutes, I have beef with Chipotle. I'll tell you why I have beef with Chipotle. And a lot of you are saying that you actually like food served cold better than hot. I mean, foods that traditionally are hot. Like, people are saying, I like my wings cold more than I like them hot. Doesn't make any sense to me. We'll try to get to the bottom of it coming up momentarily. Something else that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me is picking Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes. Now, you guys know I like Lamar Jackson. I think he is a transcendent talent. I think we are way too hard on him as a passer. And the conversations that we have about him peaking at age 23 just don't make any sense to me, because we don't treat any other successful athlete the way that we treat Lamar Jackson. But there was a story on Bleacher Report about what quarterback would you rather have. Would you rather have Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson? They had seven NFL insiders. Three of them picked Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes. We welcome one of them onto the show, Brent Zoblowski. He works for Bleacher Report. Brent, really appreciate you coming on into the belly of the beast here in Kansas City. So you pick Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes. Let's just start with the very simple question. Why?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me, as always. You know, look, let's be honest. When you have this choice, this is a difficult decision no matter what. We're talking about the last two MVPs of the league, but there's a difference in their style of play that's immediately evident. And when you discuss these type of subjects with elite players at the game's most important position, it really comes down to a matter of preference. And so for me, when I'm looking at Lamar personally, I understand that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. I'm not going to deny that one bit. And he's absolutely exceptional at what he does. Super Bowl champion, former MVP. At the same time, I like what Lamar brings from the running game perspective. And I've never fully believed in this concept that you can't have a running quarterback. If you properly protect him and utilize him within the scheme effectively, it adds a completely different dynamic to your offense. So much like the Seattle Seahawks do with Russell Wilson, the ability to create not only in the passing game but in the ground game really opens up your offense and allows you to do different things. And then I'll add a second caveat to that conversation. When I look at Patrick Mahomes, I understand, again, best quarterback in the NFL, but that wasn't necessarily what we were being asked. It's picking on who you would want to build around long term. And so knowing Lamar and his development, looking at where he stands as a quarterback in the NFL, and having spoken personally with his quarterback coach multiple times, I know how far he came in such a short amount of time with them marrying his lower body mechanics to his upper body, changing his grip, and doing all this in one offseason to where we went saw him go from a solid rookie to the NFL MVP. So if he continues to grow with that career arc, I think he has the potential to surpass everyone else in the league at the quarterback position, not just because of his running, but also as a passer as well.
Right now we're talking to Brent Zobolewski. He writes for Bleacher Report. They did a story on which quarterback would you rather have, Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, and Brent selected Lamar Jackson. What I said yesterday was, to me, this conversation begins at 2, and that's no disrespect to Dak Prescott or Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson or any of the great young quarterbacks in the league who are under the age of 30, but I do firmly believe that what we've seen from Mahomes in his first 40 games as an NFL starter has been so transcendent and so much better than this current crop. I don't really think this is a debate. If we're talking independently, is Lamar great? Is Mahomes great? Absolutely. But I think comparing the two, I think from what we've seen from Mahomes, I think he's miles ahead of Lamar.
Well, that's fair, but that's part of the argument, right? And you're baking that in knowing where Patrick Mahomes currently stands to where you're potentially projecting Lamar Jackson. And that's, to me, where the differentiation lies. So as I wrote in my response to it, my initial gut reaction was to immediately say Patrick Mahomes. I mean, no one can deny what he's done and how great he's been and just how he has revolutionized the game from the perspective of how quarterbacks work, not only within Andy Reid's offense, but with outside of structure and his creativity and the way that we look at the position. But we can say something similar about Lamar Jackson in a different way, with the way we see his utilization within the Ravens running attack, not only being the most effective running quarterback we've literally ever seen, and that's not hyperbole, that's statistical fact based on them putting together the greatest running attack in NFL history last year, him setting a quarterback rushing record, and just his effectiveness overall in that situation. I don't believe that Lamar Jackson has quite reached his full potential as a passer. And that, to me, that's where we could potentially see a difference between these two, because when you see Lamar Jackson and what he did, 36 touchdowns to lead the NFL last year, and yet he hasn't quite tipped the iceberg of what he could become as a passer. And because of that developmental potential, that's why I like him long-term, even though you can't go wrong with either.
I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. It's a pure hypothetical. Let's say that you took Mahomes out of the situation that he's in. So he doesn't have Andy Reid, doesn't have Kelce, doesn't have Hill, and the clear weapons that he has around him. You did the same thing for Lamar Jackson, where we can agree that the Ravens have built a perfect offense for his skill set. And let's say you put them on a team like Jacksonville. Do you think that both of them are as dominant if you took them out of the situation that they're currently in?
I don't think any quarterback is as dominant as when they're placed in a position to succeed. I believe all quarterbacks are quote-unquote system quarterbacks. That's what you do as successful head coaches. And that's why you have guys like Andy Reid and you have John Harbaugh who do what needs to be done to not only win at a high level but to win championships, and now especially in Andy Reid's case. And so, yes, I understand the argument from a raw talent point of view. When you come from Patrick Mahomes just throwing the ball, he's going to be successful or at least productive, whereas you need to cater things more to Lamar Jackson. But I don't necessarily see that as a negative, because if you are doing what a coach is supposed to do, a coach's primary job is to place his players in a position to succeed, and it says a lot about the Baltimore Ravens organization that they were willing to do that for Lamar Jackson and maximize his talent. When you are capable of maximizing those skill sets while minimizing potential problem areas, that just shows you that that's good football and that the player has the potential to do even more if they continue to be built around. And that's not just Lamar or Patrick Mahomes. It's applicable to
Tom Brady, who's been in the game forever, that's applicable to Drew Brees and so on and so forth. So I understand that point of view, but at the same time, we're looking at it from where they currently stand and how they project based on teams doing the right thing by them as players.
Right now, we're talking to Brent Zobolewski. He writes for Bleacher Report. They had a story on which quarterback would you rather have, Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, and Brent selected Lamar Jackson. I'm curious to get your thoughts on Lamar's ability to hold up long-term, because you said that was one of the caveats or one of the reasons that you wrote about. A lot of people have concerns whether he can hold up from a physical standpoint, and we haven't seen too many quarterbacks that run as effectively as Lamar Jackson really age well year 5, 7, and down the road. Do you have any worry about Lamar's body and his play style holding up as he continues to age?
Well, when it comes to injury, it's a part of NFL life. We know it's going to occur. It happens to all quarterbacks, whether you are a pocket passer, whether you are a running quarterback. And I know that the argument is that the odds increase exponentially the more you're found outside of the pocket. But in today's NFL, you need that mobility to skirt pressure packages, whether you're working from the pocket or you're rolling out or on designed runs, RPOs, zone stretches, zone reads, so on and so forth. And so as long as you do so from a smart perspective, and by that I mean, let's look at Robert Griffin III and how he was so successful early in his career until Helo Tinata basically, you know, crashed into his knee, and that burst all the momentum he created during his rookie year going into his second year. Simultaneously, Russell Wilson is maybe the best at picking his spots at running the football and does so consistently. He's led the Seahawks in rushing multiple times, one of the most effective dual threat quarterbacks we've ever seen, but he knows when to get down. He knows how to avoid contact. And really, as long as you're utilized correctly and the quarterback keeps his head on a swivel and gets down anytime he's near contact, then it's not that much of an issue. Because if you look at the league, whether we're talking about Ben Roethlisberger or Cam Newton, very, very different quarterbacks, but they both have extensive injury histories. It's all about protecting the person in within the structure of the offense. And if you can do so, then it becomes less of a worry overall.
And that's Brent Zobolewski. He works for Bleacher Report. That is his logic on why he selected Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes. I certainly get what he is trying to say. This is one of those things, there's no wrong answer, but there's a wrong answer. And I like Lamar a lot. One of my 10 favorite players to watch in the NFL. He just ain't better than Patrick Mahomes. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, not currently, the history of the NFL, who are not as good as Patrick Mahomes. Lamar Jackson is just one of those individuals. And I ain't taking him over Pat. I will say this, though. Brent and I are on the same side that we have really oversold the injuries with Lamar Jackson and if it's going to work. We saw Steve McNair deal with injuries his entire career. We saw Ben Roethlisberger deal with injuries his entire career, and both players ended up being MVP / Hall of Fame type players. The fact that we've put this limitation on Lamar Jackson as he continues to grow and mature and get bigger and stronger and faster and know how to take hits in one individual season. Rob, if you remember those first 6 games that Lamar started, he struggled with injuries. Last season, that was not an issue. Last year, he was healthy the entirety of the season. So I do think that fans have oversold the long-term health and viability of Lamar Jackson. It's certainly going to be a very interesting story, but it ain't that interesting with Mahomes. He's better than him, and he's going to be, I believe, for the duration of both of their careers. Coming up next, I have beef with Chipotle. I'll explain why I have beef with Chipotle. And Rob is making a list right now of people on the text line who are vouching for the cold versions of food. We'll explain it if you missed it. It's all coming up, Mr. Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
I don't know what we're going to talk about the next 30 minutes, but I know exactly what we're going to talk about for the next 30 minutes. Let's start with number one. I got some issues with Chipotle on a very personal level. And the reason I want to talk about this is I imagine that many of you have the same issues that I have. Now, I want to at least start off this conversation by saying, Rob, I'm not going to do anything about what I am saying and my complaints. That Chipotle to me is kind of like the Missouri Tigers. There's nothing the Missouri Tigers are going to do to get me to not cheer for them. if they were going to do that, believe me, they would have already done it by now with some of the losses and things that they've done and defeats that they have endured over the years. I would have been off the bandwagon if it was possible. But I've accepted that's just a character flaw that I have, that I am always going to side with the Missouri Tigers, and I've embraced it. Chipotle is the exact same way. Chipotle has treated me very poorly over the years, but I keep going back. They give me a free buy one, get one free burrito. They tell me that it's 50% off for the weekend. I'm there every single time. It's a Tuesday and I don't feel like cooking. I'm ordering food off the app. Like, I already know that I'm not going to do anything. And some of you feel the exact same way. They were serving up them E. coli bowls. I was still going back to eat them. It didn't matter. Rob, am I the only one that feels like Chipotle? They're not giving us what we give them. Am I the only one whose bowl is never the same every single time you go? I kid you not. Your order can be the exact same every single time. I know my order. I know it like the back of my hand. Chicken bowl to go, white rice, fajita, sour cream, medium salsa, cheese, lettuce. That's it. Every single time. I have not got something different from Chipotle other than when I tried the carne asada two times. I went back to chicken every single time. I don't get the burrito. I don't get a taco. Don't make me a quesadilla. I get the same thing every time. Why is it that I'm consistent, yet they're not consistent? We're talking about Chick-fil-A. Every time you go to Chick-fil-A, it's the same experience. The customer service is the same. The food is the same. I love Shake Shack. It's the same every single time you go. The same experience every time you go. Sometimes you get more chicken than other times. Sometimes you get more rice than other times. Sometimes you get more peppers than other times. It's just not the same. Am I the only one that sometimes, especially if you don't see him order it, you get a little tiny bowl. But if you're there and you can kind of coach him a little bit, you get a bowl, you get a big, full, hefty bowl. Chipotle, all I want is for a consistent experience every time. Stop telling your employees to act like the chicken is coming out of their check. They are damn near counting the individual pieces that they put into it. You all have seen them scoop some of the chicken up, right? And they'll start putting the chicken in your bowl. And then it's like something goes off in their head that, hey, I've given this person too much chicken. It'll still be three or four little small pieces of chicken on there. They'll then put the chicken back into the container and not give it to you. Just give it to me. What are we doing? Why is this every single time? I'm not asking for much. I'm really not asking for much for Chipotle. We give you guys a lot of money. I eat Chipotle at least once a week, at least, maybe twice. It really depends. I'm in their little rewards program. I've hit the rewards at least four times in the last year. Like, I really like their food. I just don't feel like they like me enough. And if this was any other company that I was a little bit unhappy with the service, I could just very easily walk away. But I'm not walking away. I tried Qdoba. It wasn't for me. I tried Freebirds. You remember Freebirds? It wasn't for me. America decided we didn't like those places. Where's Freebirds at in Kansas City? I tried Moe's, the little Moe's burrito place. I tried Burritos Bowl or Burrito Bros down at the City Market. I liked it. It just wasn't Chipotle, though. I love Chipotle. I just want Chipotle to love me. That's all I'm asking in this. Maybe I'm the only one that feels this way, and I'm the only one that cares, and that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. But there has to be one person out there that feels my pain on this. Why do you guys act so stingy with the meat? Why? Every single time. Have you ever had them make a bowl, and then you start eating it, and then you ask yourself, where's the chicken, or where's the steak, or where's the barbacoa? Is it too much to ask that every time I take a bite, I get chicken? Every single bite, that's all I want. I don't want a whole lot, Chipotle. I'm even willing to live with you guys, maybe upping the price 50 cents to meet my demands. I'm willing to pay the premium on it. You raise the prices at least once a year anyway. That's it, man. That's it. I'm serious. I don't know why this has been on my heart for like 2 weeks, and today is like get things off my chest day. Sean can't tell me I can't do it, so I'm just going to talk here. it pisses me off every single time this happens. Rob, you love Chipotle too. I know you're in the exact same situation that I'm in.
100%. I thought I was going crazy during quarantine times. I noticed my bowls were getting a little smaller and a little smaller.
Every time.
And a little smaller. Yo. When I order on the app, it's like they know. Let's screw them. Let's go half scoop of rice, not full scoop of rice. When I'm there, they go big time for me.
Every
on
time.
On the app, you know what I do on the app? They're like, oh, Rob's ordering. Let's go half scoop of rice. He can't see the difference. He's going to see its cover when he picks it up. He can't tell us. No.
The only
second thing that I think you're right about, and I thought I was going crazy in this one, different Chipotles are different quality.
Every time.
Everyone. There's a good one. I'm like, I'm going here every time. This is now my home Chipotle because this one got a little meh. I got to go to this one. How is that possible? Y'all have the same recipes, the same ingredients. Nonsense.
No, you're right. Everybody knows what Chipotle is better than the other Chipotle. Even though the food is the exact same, you know that one don't hit like the other one. Every single time, you know that. I did. I'm not going to lie to you. The most mad I've been during this entire quarantine, the most mad I was in the situation that you were in. So Chipotle was doing the free delivery where you order on the app. I live less than a mile from a Chipotle, maybe a mile and a half. They'll then bring the food to me, no charge. Cool. I open that thing. The bowl wasn't even full. You can see the bottom of the bowl. Yo, I was hot. I was so mad the whole time. Like, all right, maybe I shouldn't be telling you guys this. If the Chipotle bowl is done right, I get full. Sometimes I even have a little bit left over. You know, I might have a little sliver, a little piece. I might have like 20% left to eat, but that 80% filled me up. Man, I ate this thing in record time. I could have had three more of those kind of bowls. I was so hot. And I will say this. We have learned during this quarantine, and while restaurants are doing the carry out and you can't go in, we have learned which one of these companies are well run and got a great system. We've learned the ones that are all for one and one for all. Have you gone to Chipotle, like actually physically gone up to the store while all this is happening? It's like an auction house. Somebody comes outside with bags and then just yells people's names. Don't check your phone. Don't check your ID. None of that. So it's like you and nine other people standing by the door hoping to get your food.
Which have the door surrounded by tables for you too?
Yeah.
It's awful.
So they're just doing all of that. They then come out. They always mispronounce my name. So it's like, yeah, that's me. Every single time. I just don't get it. But no, you are right. The same Chipotle restaurant, if it's one close to your job and then one close to your house, those two Chipotles do not taste the same. They do not taste the same. I guarantee you they don't taste the same. I assure you they don't taste the same. I can also assure you that those two Chipotles are going to give you very different portions of the exact same order. You don't got to change the order at all. All I'm asking, Chipotle, as someone who is a loyal fan, and again, I ain't going nowhere. I just want a little bit more consistency, man. That's it. That's all I want. A little bit more consistency, and I want you to stop being skimpy with the chicken. And I want you to tell your employees that it's okay if you put a little extra chicken in the bowl, that it's not coming directly out of their check. Because right now, the way your employees currently act, if they give me one extra piece of chicken, they either got to charge me for a double or they lose a dollar an hour of work. And that's not how it should be. That's not how it should be.
Have you noticed this too? On the app, you get like the regular, the light, the extra. You can slide on different ingredients.
Yeah.
I like a lot of the hot salsa. I like a lot of hot. When I'm there, I say, hey, can I get a lot of hot? It's big time hot salsa city. When I'm on the app and I'm like extra, it doesn't even come close to what I believe a normal portion of hot salsa should be. So what are we doing with the app? I have to use the app at quarantine times. I can't wait to go back in and be able to talk to these people and be like, please give me some extra. Because they hook me up when I say it politely. But on the app, they don't believe in the extra on the app.
No, not at all. That's it. I'm sorry I had to go on this rant. And I can acknowledge that it was somewhat self-serving. But if one of you felt my pain and could identify with it, it was all worth it. I swear to you, it was all worth it. I have no more food rants planned for today, but one might pop up. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive. Text line 69306. You're listening on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. I'm not going to lie to you. That felt good. That felt just, it feels good. I'm looking at the text line. Some of you feel my pain. That's who I do it for. I do it for the three of you that are on my side here. Chipotle ain't treating us right, man. And we give Chipotle way more than they give us in return. And I want it to stop. And if I can use my platform for good in that sense, I'm all with it. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. So, Rob, let's talk about this because you have a small complaint about sports. We don't get sports very often right now, but you got a small complaint. This weekend, we get the big golf match. We got Tiger Woods playing. We got Phil Mickelson playing. We got Brady playing. We got Peyton Manning playing. And, of course, you found a way to complain about sports when there are no sports.
Yeah, I have a very specific set of skills like Liam Neeson. I can complain about the one sport. Why is Tom Brady in this? It's retired football player Peyton Manning and two professional golfers. And for some reason, it's active quarterback Tom Brady. I don't know if he's any good or bad at golf. You know who I know he has a boring personality. You know who I'd love to see in that role? Tony Romo. Tony Romo is likable. Tony Romo is good at golf. Tony Romo has a personality that the people enjoy. I know these things as fact. Get Tom Brady out of this thing. I don't want Tom Brady in this at all.
I want Brady in this because part of it is the best of our generation. You're seeing the number one golfer from his generation in Tiger, the number two golfer in his generation, Phil Mickelson. You then got the number one quarterback from his generation, all generations, Tom Brady. And then the number two in Peyton Manning. Both of them had a rivalry. Those are events that you look forward to when they were playing each other. Ain't nobody looking forward to watching Tony Romo. We certainly weren't doing that back when he was a player. Now, he's turned into a great media person, and I enjoy Tony Romo. But this is for the GOATs. This is for the legends. That's not what Tony Romo is. He's not a legend. Maybe a legendary screw-up. Ball might slip out of his hand. Maybe he'll choke on the back nine. This is for the GOATs. This is for people with rings, people with majors, people with championships, people who have had success in the postseason. That's not what Tony Romo is. So I'm with you. Maybe it would have been a little bit more fun. Maybe it would have been a little bit more entertaining. And he's got a little bit more personality than Tom Brady. But this is a celebration of the Kings, a celebration of the GOATs. That ain't what Tony Romo is.
The only good thing about Tom Brady in this is I'm sure he'll drop some lunatic health take, which will be worth talking about Tuesday. He'll say something like, I don't need sunscreen. I drank a bunch of water, which is a real thing he believes in. He's a crazy person when it comes to health, so maybe he'll say something crazy.
I'm excited for this. Now, I'm excited about it in this regard. I don't think I'm watching
You're sitting down and watching 4 hours?
I don't think I'm watching the 4 hour thing. But will I watch like holes 1, 2, and 3 and then maybe come back for like holes 7 and 8 and then maybe watch hole 15 and 16? Absolutely. I'm absolutely in that regard. Am I going to sit there and watch 4 hours of this exhibition golf thing? No, come on now. Let's be realistic here. That was never in the plan. I was never going to do it. Quarantine time, no quarantine time. I don't care if they were doing it at Swope Park. I wasn't watching all 4 hours of that event. I had no interest in it. But I am interested in this. If you could have the career of either Brady or Tiger, because they're clearly the big draws in this, the big dogs, which career would you rather have? Are you rather having Brady's or Tiger's? I'm going to pick Brady for this reason. I'm picking Brady because Brady never had the descend, and there hasn't been too many moments of Brady's career where we question if he was great or still great or not. Like, I might have those questions now, but he's also 43 years old. Like, I didn't have those questions 2 years ago if Brady was good, and I haven't had those questions about Brady from 2002 up until now. Like, I've been good. We had those questions for Tiger Woods for a very long time. And it wasn't just, is he going to be able to play golf? It was also, is he going to be able to win majors again and be championships? Like, he was a punchline for a significant amount of time. And then I think he became I think he became sympathetic because of the injuries and all the things that happened in his personal life. But there was a time there we were mocking the hell out of Tiger Woods. We've never done that with Tom Brady. I think that Tiger had a higher peak, and I think he was more beloved, whether it was in America or worldwide. But if you're asking me what career, what span of 15 years or 20 years of national relevance would I rather have, I think I would pick Brady's and Tiger's.
I actually think I would lean Tiger, and I hate to put the personal stuff of Tiger aside, but you mentioned the descend, and that is part of the thing. Brady has not had that yet. I think me and you believe a descend is coming for Brady. In the time he's going to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, we're going to see a Peyton Manning-like descend. So yeah, if it's to now, give me Brady. But I know a descend is coming for Brady, so give me Tiger, because at his peak, Tiger was the single most dominant athlete we've ever seen. It's either him or Serena Williams. He absolutely dominated. The Patriots were always good, but they didn't win every single Super Bowl. Tiger Woods basically was... that we had a real conversation in sports for a while there. Are you taking a single golfer to win this tournament or the other 200 plus golfers? We never had that conversation with the Patriots. And that's why, because the peak was so great, I think I'd take Tiger's career.
I get what you're saying. And the peak certainly changes it. Again, I believe that Tiger's peak was greater than Brady's peak. If we're talking in terms of popularity, where one sport, all of our attention was wrapped into one individual person. Now, I'm not saying Brady wasn't great. Obviously he was. But in golf, if you were like me, man, I only watch golf because Tiger was good at golf. I'm going to watch the NFL. It doesn't matter if Mahomes is great or Brady's great or Peyton's great. Man, I'm watching the Shield. That's not really how golf was. And Tiger made me want to learn how to play golf. Now, I don't play golf as much anymore, but I know how to swing a golf club. I've played golf only because of Tiger Woods. You remember, you were a kid during that time frame. You wanted to play golf and learn how to do it like Tiger Woods, and you went home and then played his video game so you could beat Tiger Woods. I never wanted to be Tom Brady in that sense, but I do think with Brady, it's hard to talk about Tiger without talking about the fall. Like, part of what makes him so interesting, part of why I think he deserves a 10-hour special on ESPN is, man, the fall is just as interesting as the rise. The rise to where we first found out about Tiger and he was this phenom, something we had never seen before in the sport, and how different he was than everybody else. That's as equally as interesting as, man, arguably the most popular American went through one of the more public interactions with your wife that you could possibly have. We saw how visibly shaken he was from the press conference, and then we saw him openly and outwardly battle with health and confidence, something we never thought we would see from Tiger Woods for a long stretch of time. So Tiger, to me, is a very interesting subject, but I think it's impossible to talk about Tiger in his totality in his career without talking about the fall. And that's why, just for that one reason, I would pick Brady over Tiger. I pick Brady because Brady never had the fall. He never had the descent. Like, the Deflategate wasn't the descent. The Spygate wasn't the descent. The incident with Elon where she went Sammy Sosa upside the window shield, that was the descent. Brady's never had that. That's why I'd pick him.
Yeah, I really do understand all that. I just think, and for me, it's the peak. Because Tiger Woods is the most single dominant athlete I ever saw. It absolutely dominated a sport. I mean, when he was winning, he wasn't just, I mean, there were, it was, you know, oh, he's in the hunt Saturday. It's over. And then there are other tournaments where he leads on Thursday, and you're like, it's over. There were seasons with the Patriots you thought, they're vulnerable. People can get them. There was never that moment with Tiger until the situation with his wife where she went Sammy Sosa on his Buick, and then his health. But up until then, the conversation wasn't, you know, is so-and-so beatable? It was, will Tiger lose, not will so-and-so win?
No, that makes perfect sense. Coming up next, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. And if you missed it, we'll hear from John Heyman to tell you everything you need to know about Major League Baseball returning to action. That's coming up next on The Drive. Keep it locked in right here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.